Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 12/29/17. The last trading day of the year has just concluded. So Mickey Fulp and I are giving you the monthly major market review and the annual major market review for 2017. Hey, find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com. Questions, comments, be a part of the show. Write us at kl@kerrylutz.com. Don't forget the Twitter feed at Kerry Lutz. Mickey, Happy New Year's coming up.
Happy New Year to you and yours, Kerry.
Hey, well, thank you. Thank you. And it certainly has been a happy and a financially prosperous and healthy new year for many of you out there. If you were investing in the right markets, and if you were investing in one market that we'll go into later, then you're breaking out the champagne and getting ready to charter the GS 650 over to wherever for a really happy new year. But we'll get to that. Anyway, Mickey, quite
well, that, Kerry, that, number one, that's not investing, that's speculating.
I know.
And number two, you had to have sold.
Yeah, well, hey, maybe you could take out a margin loan on your cryptocurrency. I don't know, but if you were smart enough, look, I wrote an article about this, and let's just assume that every Bitcoin investor is right. It's going to infinity. If you were to sell off half of your cryptocurrency that's gone up 10 to 100 fold or more, you would still have half of infinity left in your portfolio. What's wrong with half of infinity, Mickey?
Well, let's get to the markets here. U.S. markets again closed at or near all-time highs, and that's despite the fact there was a big sell-off in the last hour of the market today. The Dow lost over 100 points in the last hour. That said, Dow closes 24,719, up almost 2% for the month, but 25% for the year. S&P 500, 26.74, a percent up on the month, 19% for the year. NASDAQ was the big winner, major U.S. markets, closed at 69.04 today, only a 0.5% gain on the month, but 28% on the year. High techs really performed well. And finally, the underperformer at a mere 14% return this year was the Russell 2000, closed at 1549 today, only up 4 points on the month, but it was an all-time high. And certainly with the Trump tax plan going in, which is going to be very beneficial to small businesses, including you and I, Kerry. Yes. We expect that index to do quite well in the year to come.
Absolutely. And hey, if the worst you do is a measly 14%, that's not so bad.
What a year it has been.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thunk? And, you know, overall, I feel like the psychology, not just of the markets, but of the economy, has done a 180. And yes, the market's been going up for 9 years. A dollar invested in 2009 would basically be, and of course reinvesting dividends, would be worth over $4 now. But it looks to me like this thing can keep running for a while longer.
Well, I think that's a consensus amongst all the analysts. And when all the analysts get on board, there's oftentimes something that upsets the apple cart. But there's really, you look at all the metrics, there's very little reason to think that this can't continue. But certainly we're overdue for a correction, a 10% correction would probably be welcome.
Yeah, well, hey, we'll see when it happens. And like you said, when the whole market is agreeing on something, it's generally a good time to sell or at least take some profits. But so let's look at the other world markets here. Some interesting numbers there as well.
Well, the Toronto Big Board, the Toronto Stock Exchange, set an all-time high today of 16,208, up less than 1% for the month, and it really was one of the world underperformers, only up 6% on the year as they had rate increases. The energy sector is not doing well in Canada, and you have Justin Trudeau as the prime minister, and everyone knows he's a socialist. So that said, the Toronto Venture Exchange, which is my favorite market, had quite a last 4 days of the year. It surged and up 6% on the last 4 days of trading. Compare that with a yearly return of less than 12%. But it's an interesting market. The yearly low was a year ago. So it closed a year ago today at 762. The yearly high was today at 851. That's pretty amazing, and we wish that would happen every year, don't we?
Oh, goodness.
And finally, the emerging market index, very strong. It really was the big winner worldwide with a return across the year of 34%, close an all-time high today of 1158. Up 3% on the quarter, up 7% on the, up 3% over the month, 7% over the quarter, 14% over the half. You know, as we look at all these numbers, there's a lot of black on our board across the board for the year and very little red. Finally, the VIX closed today at 11.04, and it was below 10 all day long till last hour of trading, but it has been setting record lows below 10 for most of the month. Pretty amazing what happened over the last hour of trading, and I presume it was either people taking profits at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing here, because if you're in a blue state or a high tax state, under the new tax law, it made sense to, A, prepay your property taxes if that was allowable, and B, throw some income into this year, into 2017, because your effective rate is going to go up by 15% if you're a high earner making, I always give the example of you're a lawyer in New York City making $500,000 with a couple of kids and a wife, a stay-at-home mom, and you're living paycheck to paycheck, literally. You're really taking it on the chin from the new tax bill. But that's a story for another day.
So what needs to be done is these people either need to move or they need to elect some politicians that don't spend them into bankruptcy.
Well, you know, I always say that Justin Trudeau is a Bill de Blasio socialist Democrat. So it's really hard when you've reached the tipping point in a state, Mickey, and most of your residents, your citizens, are takers and not makers.
Yep. Well, aren't you glad you escaped, Kerry? Let's go on to money. The dollar did not have a good year. It was down almost 10%, closed the year at 92.3, down 1% over the month. But really, that's good for the markets that we're in, and it certainly is good for the trade deficit for the U.S. You know, Trump wants a weaker dollar, and his economic policies have given us one. Meanwhile, euro closed at 120. We haven't seen this level, oh geez, since back in the end of 2014, I guess. It was up 14% over the year. 10-year Treasury basically was flat. There were some perturbations throughout the course of the year. Big drop in August, but rebounded right back. Closed at 2.40% for a gain of 2%, or excuse me, a loss of 2% over the year. You know, I think with what looks like there will be 3 interest rate rises in the course of next year, maybe we'll see a higher 10-year Treasury bond. And finally, going into Bitcoin, another wild month. Closed at 14,293, but that was off a high of well over 19,000. So it lost $5,000 off its high. That said, up 47% over the month, up 471% over the half, and up almost 1,400% on the year. The thing I would like to say about cryptocurrencies is I think I finally found one I can get behind, Kerry. It's the Venezuelan cryptocurrency, or kleptocurrency, as you like to call them. They've named it the Petro, and it's backed by one barrel. Every Petro is backed by one barrel of Maracaibo crude. So they think they can cryptocurrency or kleptocurrency themselves out of this economic morass. But bear in mind, these are in the ground reserves, and they've got no way to get the oil out of the ground.
Yeah, well, you know, kleptos and Venezuelan, perfect together.
So, yes, they are.
Hey, so let's go on to our favorite markets personally, and that is precious metals, which, man, like, what a difference a month makes.
What a difference 3 weeks makes. On December 11th, gold hit a monthly low, or geez, probably a 5 month low of 1241. And since then, it's just been on the uptick. It closed the month at 1302 for a 2% gain, 13% gain over the year. Silver underperformed this year, closed at 1692, only up 6.5%. But the real underperformer in the metal space was platinum. Only returned 3% over the year. It was down 1.5% over the month to close at 927. As opposed to its sister metal, they used to be conjoined twins, but no longer. Palladium had a phenomenal year, up almost 56%, closed the year at 1054, which is only $36 off its all-time high set in 2001. Palladium is basically no longer acting in any way, shape, or form as a precious metal. It is now has to be considered an industrial metal. And those ratios, gold to platinum, all-time low, intra-month at 0.7, close the month at 0.71. I've been buying platinum. I actually got lucky and bought it at 880, which is a low that we haven't seen for, geez, a couple of years, something like that, on December 14th. The platinum to palladium ratio is at a low that has not been reached since the aforementioned 2001. It was as low as 0.86, finished the year at 0.88. Meanwhile, copper in early May hit its yearly low of 248. It's done nothing but make higher highs and higher lows since then. Closed at 326, up almost 7% over the month, up almost 31% over the year. One of the strongest forward curves I've ever seen, Kerry. 6 months out, it's a 6 cent forward curve, and that's about as high as I've ever seen it. The metrics for copper look very bullish going forward.
Hey, and I'll just make a comment about gold, and this isn't my own thought. Read this elsewhere. Gold had what is called an inside year. When you look at the high from 2016, the closing month, which I think was like 1350 in July, and then you look at the low for gold, which was somewhere, looks like it was 1118, monthly closing low. The low for gold was above, the low for 2017 was above the low for 2016, and the high for gold was below the high for 2016.
So that's correct.
So that is significant, because if gold breaks out on the upside and breaks that high of 1350, That means that the trend pretty much confirmed it's broken out, and it could mean a significant move in the year ahead. I'm not predicting it. I'm just observing that this is significant.
Well, I have to say that its high in 2017 was only $4 off its off that 13. Well, actually, it hit 1360 or something in 2016. It hit 1346 on September 8th this year. But certainly intraday. Your point's well taken there, Gary.
Yeah, intraday, it was still an inside year. So that's an interesting dynamic. And I think my personal belief is if it's going to happen, it's going to happen pretty quickly in the beginning of the new year. But hey, let's sit back and we'll talk about it next month. So now we shoot over to the energy sector. And again, an amazing year for energy.
Well, it was a very good month for the oils and a good year. WTI closed today at 60.14. It's the first time it's closed above $60 since June of 2015. So that's a 2.5 year high. The market is balancing despite the significant increase in U.S. shale production. We're going to be close to 10 million barrels a day average in 2018, and that would be the all-time high. Exceeding what happened in 1970. Brent crude also had a good year, up 6% over the month, 17.5% over the year. The Brent to WTI arbitrage is at 1.11 right now, that ratio, and that's very good for U.S. exports now, consistently above 2 million barrels a day. The only thing in the energy market that did not do good is Henry Hub. It's red across the board, closed the month at 291. Now that's up from 264 yesterday because of the cold in New England. Lost 8.5% over the year, lost 23% from the beginning of the year, started the year at 380 per million BTU. But tell you how speculative this gas market can get. The spot price in New England today with those sub-zero temperatures, $35 a million BTU. That's 12 times Henry Hub in the central U.S.
Yeah, that's indicative of a major supply shortage there. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, they're desperate, and that means
they're desperate.
Yeah, and that's for heating and for energy, electrical generation. The two go hand in hand. So, probably won't last for much longer. But until this cold front, till this polar vortex or whatever the heck it is moves on, we could see it go even higher.
It certainly could. And finally, we move on to uranium. I didn't get any data this week. My source for daily uranium prices evidently took the week off. But we do have data from a week ago today, and it closed at $24 a pound. That's a 3% gain for the month and a 16% gain for the year. But when you start at the bottom, even a 16% gain, no one's getting excited about $24 spot uranium price.
Yeah, we've seen all the cutbacks during the year in production. We've talked about them before. So significant ratios. Well, we look at the gold to silver.
Yeah, gold and silver, once again, up in that plus 75 range. We're looking, going 6 months out now, plus 75 or better, close the month at 77 flat, but still hasn't hit my magic buy point of 80. Perhaps that happens. Silver continues to be weak.
Yeah, there's a possibility. Yeah. Any other significant ones that we have?
Well, we've already talked about all the other ones, so I think we'll leave it there, Kerry.
I guess we'll leave it there. Hey, well, Mickey, I think the new year, it's going to be major in a lot of ways, bigly, as the man in the White House would say. We've got some interesting trends. There's no reason to think these trends are going to end or reverse themselves anytime soon. So resources could easily be the place to be again for 2018, especially if there's a weakening dollar.
Well, it certainly looks good going forward, and let's just hope 2018 turns out as good for speculators and investors, no matter what your space is, as it has been for everybody in 2018. Happy holidays to you and yours, Gary.
Hey, as well as you too, Mickey. And place to go for Mickey's insightful reports and his website is mercenarygeologist.com. The Twitter feed's at mercenarygeo. Come over to our place for financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And you can find us on Twitter at Carrie Lutz and also our Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Mickey, we'll talk to you next year. Have a happy.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.